Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back. Before I even get started in the program, I'm going to say go Eagles. My team did it. I'm from Philadelphia, so I am more than excited and elated that the Eagles were able to pull off that victory, that win in the Super Bowl. Yay. And looking forward to this parade in my city, this huge parade on Thursday. So go Eagles. Congratulations, y'all. Well done. So, moving right along. Pastor C, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Give us your mama says. What do we have today?
Today I'm in remembrance and also celebration, certainly for the Eagles, but particularly since it's It's our time as Black America or African Americans to celebrate Black History Month.
Right, right.
And what came to mind early this morning, I just admire Harriet Tubman. And one thing I'm excited about, haven't heard too much in the news about it, but this Black abolitionist leader is going to appear on the front of the $20 bill.
Wow.
I am excited about that.
I hadn't even heard that.
She is relocating the slave-holding former president, Andrew Jackson.
Oh, wow.
He's going to the rear, and the founding father, Alexander Hamilton, will remain on the face of the $10 bill. She's going to be on the $20 bill. And Alexander Hamilton will be on the face of a $10. I think that's super.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. The changes were announced by the Treasury Secretary, as part of a history overhaul of U.S. currency. It's aimed at addressing America's legacy of slavery and gender inequality.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They came after a viral online campaign to feature a woman on the currency. Later, a push was made to preserve Hamilton's place by historians and fans, but the hit Broadway musical that bears his name. However, the essential story, here it is, the essential story of American democracy and the power of an individual to make a difference, a Black woman making the difference, adding that so much of what she believes has changed for better for our country is reflected in what she struggled for and what she struggled through. She was an awesome woman. She had a vision. I like to say she had an anointing on her to get Black people out of slavery and move them from the South to the North. It's reported in history, Sister Amber, that often she would go around in circles. She'd have her followers going around and around and around and around in circles. And some of the men would say, You don't know where you're going. You just got us walking in circles because they begin to recognize, the, you know, the similar groundwork around them, the layout of the land. But, however, she was kept the faith, kept her focus, and kept on moving because she knew if she had gone this way or that way that the enemy would have captured them. And so the Lord directed her, I'm saying, to go around in the circle because she had to keep them marching. We have a saying, a good chapter, a marching church, a marching people cannot be conquered. And so I applaud her. I hail her today. And that's why I work for anybody that's got a focus, a vision from the Lord to bring about liberty, to bring about deliverance, to bring about salvation. Keep your focus. No matter what people say, no matter how dark and dismal the situations and circumstances around you, keep marching. Keep forging ahead. Hallelujah. Yes, I think I'm about that. I just wanted to share that today. To anyone that's listening, male or female, keep focusing. She has risen to, she's dead and buried. She died in 1913. I love reading about her and other people from out that era. But she has risen from blackness and obscurity and slavery to being on the United States of America's currency. I'm excited and thankful. Look what God has done. Look how far he will bring you. Whether you awake to it or whether you sleep, waiting for the great trump of the Lord to sound.
Well, thank you. So
I applaud her today.
We applaud her. Well, thank you, Pastor C. That was our Black History spiritual moment of the day. Keep focusing. A marching
church,
a marching people cannot be conquered.
Cannot be conquered.
Thank you so much. So today,
my pleasure.
Thank you. So today, my guest is Washe Downey. I'm going to read you a little bit about him, but the reason why I have him on here because he is probably the only person I know that has ever had $300,000 in scholarship money. And before I introduce him again, I'm just going to say that he is a recipient of $300,000 in school funding. He spends his time educating and assisting students on the most effective ways to apply for college and get funded. He lives in North Carolina and is currently working on his doctorate degree. Washe?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm glad you decided to come back on the show because I've had so many people who wanted and needed to hear the information that you have. So I'm going to give you space to just go ahead and get started because I need to know some of this information too. So tell me how you were able to get so much, and then we can just flow from there.
Right. So basically it all started in high school. And prior to that, my involvement and exposure in, like, college access programs. So there's a lot of pre-college programs that a lot of students can benefit from. And so because I was, like, in pre-college programs and I had a great high school counselor that really exposed me to opportunities. And she said, Washe, I want you to, I remember one particular day, she gave me a piece of paper and said, Washe, I want you to apply for this scholarship. It was a totally different scholarship, but no one else had applied. And she knew that I would be the one to apply because I had written essays already for different scholarships. And so because of that, I was graced. First of all, I thank God because of the exposure and opportunities I had, that she gave me favor and said, Washe, I want you to do this. And from there, I just was applying for so many additional scholarships because I knew that my family could not necessarily afford to pay for my schooling for me to go to college. And because I knew of that burden, I took it upon myself to really look at other opportunities and really to listen to what people were telling me.
Okay.
And that's what really helped me, you know, having other people around me, but also I also give God a credit because it's still a miracle today when I think about it, you know,
right.
as I pursue my education and the opportunities I've had as a result of that.
And if I'm correct, you're still currently using this scholarship money to get you through your doctorate
right.
program.
Right. And so this right here was a different scholarship program. So overall, I've received several different scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one particular scholarship covers all the way to my doctorate. It's the Gates Millennium Scholars Program or Foundation by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And so this scholarship, it ended about 2 years ago because it originally started in 2000. But there's other scholarships out there that has benefited students. But this particular one, is the one I'm still using. It benefited me when I was in undergrad and graduate school and now as I'm pursuing my doctorate. And so that has been a blessing because not only has it allowed me to pursue my education, but it has really allowed me not to have to worry about how am I going to pay for certain things in terms of tuition. And
right.
that in itself is a blessing because I'm able to help others. I'll give you a prime example. A young man I've been working with from our church in, down east. He was working with him, and he just let me know a few weeks ago. He got into his number one university
okay.
in North Carolina, which is UNC Chapel Hill. And he also, he told me he applied to over 27 or 30 colleges and universities.
Oh, my.
Across, you know, 27 or 30, he got into all, so he has not received any denials or deferments from any of those universities. And so as a result, he has accumulated over $1 billion in scholarships from those respective universities.
Wow.
Amazing, amazing.
That
and
is
so,
great.
Right. So that's a blessing. I'm like, man, I'm proud of you. because, like, he actually called me the day he got accepted. You know, you find out online whether or not you've been accepted. He was very nervous about it. But that's one thing that we are called, anyone that has success or has had any type of, you know, experience in this area, you have to know how to reach back and reach up and help others to
right.
achieve the same thing. And so that has been a very unique blessing, seeing that he gets to go to any university he wants to go to, which is going to UNC Chapel Hill, and, you know, just to see those opportunities from there. And so I reminded him that this is a good problem for you to have a choice among 27 universities that you want to go to. Right. And, of course, the money is going to flow because, you know, one thing about it, and this is the key thing I talked about last time, there are four steps to college. The planning process, the applying process, paying, and deciding. And I put paying as a third step because you really want to make the decision, how am I going to pay? How, you know, what type of scholarships am I going to find?
Okay.
Now, I talk a lot about scholarships. And honestly, this is the perfect time right now. It is February now.
It is. Yeah.
It's February. And a lot of students have already received, hopefully, acceptance letters and notifications about scholarships. You know, it's the second semester, but it's not too late. This
okay.
is a prime time where a lot of students can begin to ask their guidance counselors or college advisors what are some local scholarships. You know,
okay.
a lot of the big scholarships, their deadlines are coming up very soon or have already passed. But
okay.
a lot of local scholarships, for example, if you live in North Carolina, there's a website. In North Carolina, we use CFNC.org, College Foundation North Carolina. But wherever you are in the country, you
mm-hmm.
can look up your state website for scholarships.
Okay.
And that's very critical. But I always encourage students to go to their guidance counselor along with even the parent to go to encourage the students or the counselor to find additional scholarships for them. Now, there are websites you can use. These are national websites, fastweb.com, F-A-S-T-W-E-B.com, or scholarships.com.
Okay.
And there's a whole lot of other websites that one can use. And those are essentially scholarship search engines. Another
okay.
website that I love to use is from the United Negro College Foundation, UNCF. And that's, I believe, scholarships.uncf.org. There are scholarships specifically for those who are going to a historically black college or university, mm-hmm. majoring in different sciences or majors or whatever the case may be. There are resources out there. But here's the main problem, and I've identified this even on the last time I was had opportunity to speak. Uh-huh. Many times students do not like to write the essays.
Yes.
Or there is not enough passion or drive to complete what they want to start.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to really tell students and parents is to really encourage the students to enjoy the process, because honestly, you are only a senior in high school once in your life.
Hopefully.
And even if you're not a senior, right, but if you're not a senior, maybe a student is a junior or sophomore. Right now, if anyone is in high school that's listening to this, or you have children that are in high school, the best thing you can do for them is to support their educational endeavors and to really to have an imprint in their educational pursuits. I was reading today that families that may not know a lot about the educational process
uh-huh.
are often bypassed and don't have the opportunity to take the rigorous academic courses, or may
okay.
not know about opportunities. And so as a result of knowing, now we're able to say, okay, let's pursue some of these courses that can help you get into the universities, that can help you get these additional scholarships. That's very important, to have the academic rigor and also to be involved. And one way that students can be involved or have the academic rigor is to really consult one of their teachers or a counselor. Because often, and this happens to students of color, do not always know about opportunities.
Right.
And as a result, they're bypassed because other people may not think they can do, you know, such and so. So it's very important to have those talks with their teachers and their counselors, because you know your student's ability more so than anyone else.
Right.
You know? And so that's a very key component. But as I was saying, writing essays, because, you know, the number one reason why students don't get extra money for college is because they don't want to write the essay, and there's that feeling of self-defeat. And one way to stop that self-defeat is to, you know, own the process and make the writing process fun, you know. And one thing I encourage students to do is just take time. Don't expect to sit down in one sitting and write the whole prompt out or your whole paper. Take it
okay.
chunk by chunk. Like, I know one way I write is I get all my thoughts out of my head. I put it on the screen or I put it on paper,
mm-hmm.
and then I organize it so that it can flow. Or I, you know, take a break. I walk away from it, and I may come back to it. That's one way that can really help students, not just in writing essays, but in their academic endeavors as far as doing a paper or anything like that.
Right.
I'll give you a prime example. I was recently working or talking to a pastor.
Yeah.
And she was letting me know that she wants her, you know, the young adults in her congregation to have a unique college experience so bad that she has begun to apply to colleges for them and write essays. I'm like, wow, that's very intense. And she's told me this. And so I found out, she also mentioned that a lot of the people that were starting college were not finishing. And I said, well, here's the problem. You cannot do that for them.
All right.
You cannot apply to college for anyone. You cannot press anyone to do anything they don't want to do.
Exactly.
And so perhaps there are parents out there that have been, you know, applying to colleges for their student or thinking about it or even writing the student's essays. Be careful about that, because you really want your student to own it. You really want them to have the accountability.
Okay.
So that they, as they go through the process, they can say, you know what, I did this. Of course, I had help, but, you
right.
know, I did, you know. So you really want them to own the process. Otherwise, it's easy to forfeit something that you did not work for, you know?
That's true. That's very
mm-hmm.
true.
So that's very important in this writing process. And I can go into more details, but the major thing is to encourage students to don't bypass opportunity because it's asking for a 500-word or 1,000-word essay. You know,
sure.
you can have someone to review it or, you know, or even critique how you're writing it. And I always tell students, this is the other component, is don't disqualify yourself just because you read the prompt or you read the stipulation that you need a certain GPA. For example, let's say a scholarship or anything is saying that you need a 2.5 or 3.0 GPA, and you know that your GPA is not 3.0, but it may be a 2.9.
Okay.
That does not stop you from applying. You
okay.
can write that essay so much so you can say, even though I may not have the credential, I believe I qualify for this because. And a student can write about his or her adversity or what they've done or what they're going to do to give back to their community, you know. And so students, you know, you want to be very careful that you don't disqualify yourself, because I know for myself as a director of college access, as I'm reading students' essays sometimes or working with them, I'm like, you know what, this student did not really qualify, but their narrative, what they
okay.
wrote,
okay.
Or you may know something about them. They may have done something extra in their application. It makes them stand out. And that comes with favor. That's a matter of favor and grace, when you think about it. When you may not have met the full qualification, but because of grace and favor, you got the scholarship anyway.
Right.
And so that can happen. I've seen it happen several times. So that's part of the paying process, looking at essays and really doing the essays and having people to critique them, because, you know, at the end of the day, no one is a perfect writer. You know, everyone can be critiqued and can have an experience that can help them along the way.
Well, that's awesome. So I just want to just recap a few things that you said, because I think they need to be restated and clarify one thing. So it's about the planning, applying, the paying, and deciding. Those are the four steps. So
the four major steps.
Four major
mm-hmm.
steps. And you offered up a few websites, fastweb.com, scholarships.com, as you said, scholarships.uncf.org, which is the United Negro
right.
College. Okay.
Right. And I want to make sure I get it right. I think it's uncf.scholarships.org or one of those. But either way, it's easy to find. Actually,
yeah.
scholarships.uncf.org. And that is a great search for students that are thinking about going to HBCU or are students of color. You can, and here's the main thing about it, not just for those who are in high school, but even for those who are in college. You know, it is a lot harder to find scholarships when you are in college, because I'm trying to help others. Yes. You said that's your other question?
That was my question that I wanted to clarify. If you're already in school, can you still apply for grants? And what if you're past the age or you're an adult learner? Can
yes.
you still apply for college money?
If you are an adult
money.
Learner, right,
mm-hmm.
if you are an adult learner or whatever the case may be, I always encourage anyone in that particular arena to
mm-hmm.
talk to your college or university. Go to the financial aid office. And as you go in the financial aid office, you may talk with someone or the director that may understand your situation, or there may be other money, pots of money they may have. Prime example, if you're desiring to major in, I don't know, human growth and development or child studies or whatever the case may be, go to that department chair, and tell them, hey, I really need some additional money. I want to major in this because so on and so forth. And you never know what type of money they may have. See, we assume because it's not broadcasted on the website or we don't get an email that there's no money. But I want to tell you that new millionaires are created every year, right?
Okay.
And so there's always money. A university, especially if you're going to a public or private university that has a great reputation in the community, there's going to be donors that are donating to their scholarship fund. So never take no for an answer in the terms of your education in that matter. Now, of course, if a university tells you they don't have something, then, you know, they may not have it. But you want to keep pressing it. Persistence is the key here. So go to the financial aid office, and you can also utilize those other websites. There are websites such as the ones I just provided that can really assist adults and those who are what we call non-traditional age college students. Even if you're pursuing your master's, there may be a graduate assistantship or fellowship that can cover your cost of living if you're pursuing your master's or your doctorate. So there are opportunities, but the key thing is to talk to the right people. Find the right persons to talk to on those college campuses, especially after you know you've been a student or you are doing well. You got to have that support. And so there are lots of monies out there on the individual college campuses that may not be broadcasted otherwise.
So let me ask you a question. I don't know if you quite know the answer for this, but do you think with the new tax laws and how people are unable to claim charitable giving on their tax income, do you think it will be there will still be plenty of money given out there?
Right.
Since people
I believe,
can't write it off.
Right. And it's they can write it off up to a certain amount, but it's not as, you know, generous as it was last year. I do know that for this year, this past fiscal year, a lot of people donated as much as they could before the new tax went into place.
Okay.
So it's only time will tell if certain things will dry up. But I can also indicate this, that we know a lot of corporations are still going to give because it puts them in a great position. It makes the public like them more. So I don't think we're going to see a significant drop in people giving to foundations that actually give scholarships out.
Okay.
But what we will see is that because of the new tax code, that more people will begin to consider how are we spending money. So we may see a drop in tuition in some areas. Or this may be the federal government may decide, you know what, let's consider giving students more Pell Grant money. Right now the Pell Grant amount is the maximum Pell Grant is $5,920.
Okay.
That Pell Grant amount has not increased, if I remember correctly, in the past 2 years.
Okay.
So it may be up for an increase this upcoming year. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's just wanted to put out there that students who are starting over again, what did you call alternative? What are the adult learners, what did you call them?
Oh yes, non-traditional students.
Non-traditional
students, you know, because traditional students are those that are like 18 and go on to college. But now we have more untraditional people, I mean, non-traditional students going to college.
So are students who... have never been, but decide again to start. Like
absolutely.
Okay.
Right, they can be considered for it. And so, in this case, there are many times no age restrictions. Otherwise, it will tell you eligibility. But most of the time, these scholarships are free for anyone unless otherwise posted.
Okay. Well, that is all the time we have for today. I hope you guys learned. From him a lot today, and I hope you got those websites. If you need some, feel free to text me or email me at oneteachablemoments@gmail.com, and I'll get that information out. Also, we can reach Marsh Washe. What's your number real quick?
Yes, 252-809-2533.
Thank you, Washe, for being my guest, and everyone have a good night. Till next
Thank
time.
You.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.